We couldn't do it for 45 hours.
We're working on several meeting places just outside the city of Jersey, around in the Newark area, you know, and the Meadowlands area, and that.
What about the South Bronx?
In Los Angeles, we paid $2,000 a day for meetings. It wasn't as nice as
it. In New York, there's not anything comparable to this, but the rooms down there, at any kind of decent hotel, run about $2,000 a day. You've got to be up by 60, you pay those $2,000. Also, we've got a lot of clients that are in the western part of the state, Rochester area, Syracuse, on back toward Albany, and Utica, Albany, and Boston, and up in Vermont. So it works out as a pretty good central place.
It's very convenient for a thing.
I like this hotel a whole lot. Usually the air conditioning doesn't freeze, and what the heck. One other note, Howard, if I might, Sunday morning, there are a lot of people who will be here Saturday for drivers. Sunday morning, the restaurant probably will be packed, and we want to get a pretty good start Sunday morning, because that's the wind-up. And from 7:30 until 9:30, Sunday morning, which by 9 probably will be started again, there's a breakfast buffet. Those who have been here before know they have a very good breakfast buffet. Sunday morning, there'll be a special one just for our group. It'll be in the first courtyard. They have an area that's sort of like a little way, a lower level, and it's got kind of trellises and things.
There'll be a sign there.
Yeah. And it'll say,
if you're hungry enough, you'll find it.
That'll just be for our group. So you won't have to wait in line, and it'll be the same price as what's in Simpsons in the restaurant. Same food, same price, just a special place for us for our convenience.
When's that start?
I believe it was 7:30 to 9:30.
Also tomorrow, after we have this 4 o'clock hands-on smaller group by subject, we will break at 20 minutes to 6, Travers goes off at 5:45, we'll have two big color television sets in here so you can all watch it. When it's over, then we'll break. And we'll get, Jimmy will do a running commentary on Clever Trevor. That's an Oklahoma one.
Can we New Yorkers snap our fingers?
Oh, yeah. And you won't be able to, you're for Easy Go, aren't you?
I haven't looked at the race. He's but the greatest.
If he thinks he's great, he'll be screaming so loud you wish he wasn't in a room to watch the film. Just we'll have to put a muzzle on mine. Before we wind up tonight, I want to bring on our teaching member. And I won't tell you a story because he's going to tell you. He has done tremendously well at this, I think. And I think coming from him, you learn a lot about yourselves and about your own potential. Richard Diamond.
Ago, I was on the other side of this podium, basically attending the first seminar I had ever been to, and I sat there a little bit confused. A lot of new terms were being used. A lot of jargon was being used that I had read about, heard about. But I came away from the seminar with an idea that if they could do it, I could do it. And basically, I decided that that was going to be a goal. And the goal of mine was not just to win, but to win money. Okay, coming from the Wall Street environment, I decided I want to make this into a business. Okay, and I wanted it to be a business where I would be self-employed. And the ratio of businesses of people who are self-employed, there's a high percentage of failure. I did not want to be in that group. So I basically dedicated a lot of time and a lot of effort to try to make this business succeed. Okay, and I think it's very important that each of you think of this as a business. Take it seriously. Okay? The reason for this is the nature of what we're trying to do. We're involved in paramutual betting. We kind of take it for granted then we go to the track and we put our money through the windows and we win a race and we collect money. But think about what's involved here. You're going up to the window and you're basically saying, hey, dumb public, I'm smarter than you are. Okay? Because otherwise, you wouldn't be being paid for making your equine investment. Okay? So it requires a certain mentality, a certain ego, to say, I am smarter than you are. And we have the tools. We have the methodology. But it's going to require a certain mental mindset. And Howard talks about how I was fairly successful from the beginning with this. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Okay, I saw this in the kind of as a samurai mentality, you know, me against you, and I want to come out on top. And I was always looking for the bottom line. How can I make money at this? Okay, to just pick winners was never enough. I needed to understand what it was I was doing with my investment capital. I wanted to understand how I was spending my time and how I was being paid for my time. Okay, a lot of the questions, some of the questions tonight are, you know, should I spend the extra time doing this? Should I spend the extra time doing that? You can answer those questions. You need to decide by doing that extra work. Are you being paid for it? Is it giving you information that is giving you more money into your pockets? There's also something that you have to be careful of, and I talked to some clients in this respect, and that is being too timid. Okay? You've got to make the decision, okay, I am at the stage where I need to start betting. I'm a big believer, along with Howard, that betting on paper is no good. Okay? This comes from my trading background. There's an emotion that goes along with having the pressure on yourself to do the analysis, to pick the winner, and to cash the ticket. Okay? And sure, it's fine while you're learning the jargon, while you're learning what all of these readouts mean, while you're learning how to do a track profile, how to run the engine program, to run some races on paper. But I'm speaking to a couple of, too many people, I think, who are not ready in their own minds to take that step. You have to take that step. You have to pull away from the paper because it becomes a whole different ballgame. And that's the real ballgame. Okay? If you're in it for the gratification of winning on paper, that's fine. But I don't think too many people have spent money to come here to win on paper. I think it's very important to take a bankroll. Let me talk a little bit about bankroll and what's going on upstairs in your mind. Make sure that your initial bankroll is unencumbered money. Okay, Dick has talked a little bit about being independent. The key to being independent is not having pressure to cash a ticket. The winners will come when you start pressing, when you start forcing the issue. Okay? It totally changes the way you look at a race. It totally changes the way you look at pace lines. So it's very important, once you're ready to make that break, once you're ready to move on to the real money aspect of this thing, that you have a bankroll size. And hey, with the size of bets, they still have $2 bets. You can use a $100 bankroll. It can be that small. Okay? But it's very important, as soon as you feel that you're able to start betting with the money. Because what happens is, you are now getting reinforcement in your pocketbook. Okay? And along with betting the real money, it then becomes very important. In fact, one of the more important things that we do is to keep records of what's going on. You need to know where you stand. You need to see in black and white, how did I do over this 20 race cycle? 20 to 25 races is a good statistical number. It weeds out the variation because you hit an off track, because, you know, something was happening that day, that particular series of races. But over 20 to 25 races, you will be able to tell where you're at, and your bankroll will have its proper or improper fluctuations depending on how you're doing. The next step in this evolution is to decide what it is you want out of this. Because, to be perfectly honest with you, the market's open 6 hours a day. Okay, horse racing takes a hell of a lot longer. You have to decide how much you're going to invest in terms of your time. Is it going to be a recreational type thing? Is it going to be something where you're part-time supplementing your income? Or is it going to be something full-time? And you need to be able to make that time commitment to this. Okay? The key to the methodology is putting good things into the computer. The old garbage in, garbage out concept is a big problem with people who struggle with this. And the way you put good things into your computer is to spend enough time doing the analysis. We're going to go over tomorrow the various steps, the ATVs, the pluses and the O's, the PBS, to do that properly so that you're not putting junk in the machine. And once you've made that allocation of time, then you have to set yourself some goals. What do I want to get out of this? And you have to be realistic, but you should have some high expectations. Okay, you hear some of the details of what kind of rate of return this methodology can produce. Those are real rates of return. If you run it as a business, if you keep records, you ask any one of us, you ask some of the people in the audience about their performance. They can snap off their current winning percentage of their last cycle. They can snap off their average mutual of their last cycle. Very, very important. You have to act as your own accountant. You have to be constantly reevaluating your performance. You may have a losing cycle. You have to then decide what is going on here. Is something changed? Have you changed? Are you betting more? Has that caused any psychological pressures on you? You're running the business. Keep that in the back of your mind. You're acting as the decision maker. You're acting as the treasurer. You're acting as the accountant. And if you take this kind of an approach, the same kind of approach that you probably do in your own businesses away from horse racing, okay, you're going to be very surprised about how successful you can be. You're going to be very surprised at how unmechanical you become. The last thing that I want to mention about all this is that you can't become frustrated. It's very important to have a positive attitude and to use the services that we provide. Okay? Nothing bothers me more than to have a client call me up and to talk in generalities. And I don't mind talking in generalities. That's fine. But you don't learn from generalities. You learn from specifics. You're not handicapping generalities. Okay? And I usually end the conversation with, send me three races, preferably three consecutive races that you've lost. Send me the results charts. Show me your pace lines. Send me your printouts. Okay? And I don't get a whole lot of response to that request. And I usually don't hear from those people much after that. Okay? You've got to take this as serious as you want to make it. That's it.
Okay, folks, get a good night's sleep. Tomorrow we start with Dan Duran, who has arrived.
Morning, Doc.
In 1984, I first injected into our seminars the subject which loosely referred to as the psychology of winning, and met with great resistance. Oh, God, that was that psychological crap. Since 1984, those who are calling it psychological crap have drifted over to asking for even more of it. And since 1984, we have established by the confessions of the client that the main obstacle to their winning were those imposed by themselves or by parental or social injunction, and not the mathematics or the procedure or the method itself. My applications of the psychology of winning have been basically designed to appeal to the inner self, to the emotional self. There's another school involved in the psychology of winning, which is, let's fix the microphone, the school of... What I love is, don't you love these concerts where you pay $50 for a ticket and the guys come out there and go, bong, 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 bong. Testing, 1, 2. You know, $1 million performers, they come out there, testing, 1, 2. Kind of ruins the show for me, doesn't it? We have another approach to this very same thing, which I found very fascinating, and I found it done expertly by our next speaker. And it deals directly not to your emotions, but primarily to your greed and to your need, and it's the subject of being your perception. If you perceive yourself as a winner, if you perceive the method in the right frame of reference, you'll be a winner. This man is a little bit more impatient than I am. He's dynamic, he's young, which is certainly something I'm not. But he is effective. He has motivated salesmen who were mediocre salesmen to become millionaire salesmen. And he may irritate you a little bit, which I hope he does. I hope to God he does, because you need irritation if you're not winning now. But by the time he's through, you will see some things that you have not seen to date. Let's bring on Dan Duran.
Well, thank you very much, Doc. I need some help passing these out if someone would like to give me a hand. They're not stable, so hold them together. Do me a favor and don't get into them. We're going to go through them page at a time. And you don't want to peek. How many people were in the Las Vegas seminar, Dream Malls Las Vegas seminar? A couple? Okay, this may look similar, but it's different. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is not think it's the same thing, not think that you've seen it before, because even though we might cover a couple of the tricks that are the same, you're never in the same space and time twice, so it'll be different this time. Plus, just to mess you up, I'll change it. Let's grab one of those things. We have it out there? More? You looking for a seat? You want me to go
in? Yeah, I got a little bit thick.
Dead. One more. Bring him up here, Chief. You're going up here, please.
Thank you. There you go. Okay, when Doc and I talked about this for the last seminar, we agreed that this is probably what we would call it. Anyone looking inside will go blind, by the way. Okay. Now try and hang with me if you would. If you've seen any of these things before, keep them to yourself. What we're going to do is a little self-discovery and a few tests and exams. It's going to be fun. But this is going to be a work session. This is not church. You can speak back. And I actually do want feedback from time to time. The problem here this morning, the good news is, this is a four-day seminar that retails in the thousands of dollars and has been, you know, played throughout America. The bad news is we've only got an hour this morning, but if for some reason I don't have time to fully answer your question, I'll be glad to get with you afterwards. As several people can attest to, we were in the bar until they kicked us out last night talking about stuff in psychology. First thing is, if you turn to the inside page, and you'll see a little wedge. Now this is what a lot of you refer to as psychological crap. But it's a little different approach than what Doc does. Like I said, I deal with salespeople, managers, and individual producers. And I think if you think about it, at one time or another, all of us have been one of those things. Either you work on your own in a company, or you manage other people, or you were in sales. So if you look at this beautiful thing that Dick Schmidt drew for me, let me explain. This is the basis of what we're going to be talking about today. You have a tremendous amount of potential. However, what you use is always very small. You ever heard that you only use 10% of your brain?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, scientists are arguing today, is it 2% or is it 1%? The point is, you've got a lot. We use a little. What gets in our way, and there's some names in here, but it's just in general, these things are known as barriers, the things that stop us. The question is, when you want to improve in any area, which is what seminars I think are all about, is to get better. It doesn't matter if you're at 50%, want to get to 60, you're at 71, want to get to 85, whatever, you want to improve the quantity and quality of your handicapping life every day. The question often comes up is, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's a piece of information that I don't have. Maybe if I just learned a little bit more about the third fraction. Maybe if I learned something more about pace line selection. Maybe if I switch to energy from synergism or vice versa. I guess that would work. Maybe if I move from one program to another. Well, my contention is that you all here have way more information already, way more learned skills. See, this side here is the learned skill side. You don't really need to get more of these. What we need to do is figure out how to reduce and modify these barriers so that you can use more. So just as an example, let's move away from handicapping for a minute, then we're going to get strictly into it and look at those applications. Let's take a manager, for example, who has a belief that people are no good. You see how you could know everything that Peter Drucker ever wrote, but if you know that people are no damn good, you're not going to be a very effective manager. So by reading another book, by taking another seminar about management, is not necessarily going to help you. You need to change your beliefs, or maybe your attitudes toward people. Has anyone in here ever tried sales and didn't like it? Okay? I would be willing to bet that if you tried sales and maybe didn't do well at it or didn't like it, it wasn't because you couldn't sell, because everyone can sell. It's that maybe you had a negative attitude toward what selling is. Let's say that you and I sat down and I gave you all of my training on selling. I've read over 800 books on selling. So every technique in the world, how to close, how to approach, how to make a beautiful presentation. But if you knew in your mind that selling was a nasty thing, that you saw it as going into someone's place of business or in their home and talking them out of something, how well do you think you do as a salesperson? Anyone think you could see?
Pretty good.
See, that would happen if you think of it, would. As an individual producer in a company, let's say you're working for a manager, and you know the manager doesn't like you. You know the company's all screwed up. You know that they don't know what they're doing. They're always changing things. Okay? You can know your